Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Today, we're hearing the words of Jesus on our motivations, as recorded in Matthew chapter 6. Our job, letting in the light to scatter the darkness in our lives. If you want to run life's race ablaze with light, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on secret serving, a message about motivations. Turn to Matthew 6:23. Here, Jesus speaks of our lives being filled with darkness unless we let in the light of God.
Now you'll notice that Jesus says, if the light which is in you is darkness. In other words, if your eye is just closed to the light, how great is that darkness? How great it is. Now, if the first test that we've taken is the test of our affections, the second test is the test of our attitude. It's the test of our attitude. And it has to do whether or not we're full of light or we're full of darkness. Let me give you a third test that Jesus gives us, and that is the test of our actions. Our actions. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Notice that Jesus is still thinking about money. He's still thinking about it. And what he's saying is that when it comes to serving, if we're going to serve the things of this world and mammon or money and is representative of all the things of this world, if we're going to do that, Jesus said, just understand that you can't serve God too. The world passeth away and all of its lusts, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And the scripture is very clear that says, he who loves the world is an enemy of God. You just can't do it. And you and I, our hearts are so deceitful, and they have thought of so many different ways that we think we can pull it off. Actually, when you look at this in the Greek text, it is much more, much stronger than the English translations. What it really means is that no man can be a slave to two owners, You know that you can't dance to two different tunes simultaneously. That is, if you're into dancing. I don't think that you can do that. You can't take orders from two different military officers simultaneously. And we can't serve God on the one hand, and we can't serve money on the other hand, and think that we are pulling it off. If we think that we are pulling it off because we are serving both, we are actually not serving God. Actually not serving Him. And so what Jesus is saying is this. Look, slaves in the Old Testament times and the New Testament times, those slaves did not have many rights. The owner could do as he wished with his time of discretion and his free time, but the slaves couldn't. They had to just do whatever the master told them. They were sometimes misused, to be sure, but they had the responsibility of somehow eking out an existence with that kind of a lifestyle. And Jesus is saying that just as slavery in those times could be harsh and cruel and demanding, the serving money could be the very same way. And oftentimes it is. And he says you cannot serve God and money simultaneously. I'd like to help us get a handle on this by making a couple of observations here from the text that Jesus has given us. First of all, slavery is not an option. Slavery is not an option. But choosing our master is. Choosing our master is. You'll notice that we are either slaves of God, and that is a privilege, by the way. Paul says, I am a bondslave of Jesus Christ. I am obedient to God. And that is the path of freedom, that is the path of fulfillment, that's the path of sensing that you're doing something that is going to survive life. But then there's also another path, and that is serving ourselves. And both are slavery. Here's a man who thinks to himself that he is not a slave, but he has outbursts of anger that he cannot possibly control, things that just overwhelm him. He is consumed by jealousies that he cannot bring under control. In fact, he takes those jealousies and he actually magnifies them. And he thinks that he is in charge of his life, and he is just as much a slave as those who were slaves in the Roman Empire. Because when you serve yourself, that is the worst kind of slavery, the worst kind of slavery. So slavery is not an option. The question is, whose slave are you going to be? The Bible is very clear that either we are serving our lusts and our desires and our worldly pursuits, and those drive us and throttle us and leave us where we are, or else we serve God. Choose your master. Secondly, obviously, we can only have one master and not two. Now, sometimes in our individual life, we may slip and we begin to serve a worldly master. We may fall into sin and serve the devil or serve ourselves. But those who are committed to Jesus Christ, they bounce back. They come to God in confession. They admit their need. They are broken in his presence. They are grieved because they have grieved God. But there's no way that you can continue doing that and at the same time be serving both God and the devil. It simply cannot be done. You remember that race that I've told you about that the Greeks used to have, where two horses used to run together and you stood with one foot on one horse and the other foot on the other horse, and the horses galloped together in a duet. And that was very good, because when they began to separate, you had a decision to make. You had a decision to make. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, in all of his ways. He's unstable at work because he's dishonest, because he's double-minded, and he can't concentrate on God. He has only himself to think about. He's unstable in his home. He's unstable and unpredictable at church. You can't depend upon him. If he says he's going to be at a place, he's going to have a certain ministry, you can't be sure that he's going to be there, because a double-minded man has instability in all these different ways. And Jesus said, "Choose you this day," quote the words of Joshua, "whom you will serve," because you cannot serve both. You can't do it. And so the bottom line of what Jesus is asking us to do in our actions, and we've talked about the fact that there's the test of the affections. Who do we love? Where do we put up our treasures? And that, of course, is something that can be done secretly, indeed, secretly. And there's secret giving, and there's secretly taking care of people. There's also the test of our attitude. If we have a generous spirit, we'll look for opportunities to give, to be involved, looking for opportunities to sacrifice. But the third test is also the test of our actions. We'll be looking for opportunities to obey God, to obey God. God sometimes leads us to situations in which we have sermon illustrations that come to us just when we need them. Last night, my wife and I were with some other pastors and their wives. We get together every few months to eat together and to think about things and oftentimes just enjoy fellowship. But a pastor there was telling me that his church was not giving the way they should be giving. And so he called a day of repentance. He said, "We were being disobedient to God." And he said, as a result of getting rid of that darkness, that dark spirit, the shutters closed and the windows, he said, "God has done a new work among us. He's done a new work among us." And the whole point of this message has to be emphasized, the fact that God looks at the heart and says to us again and again, "Give me thine heart. Give me all who you are, and I will take care of the rest." But you have to come in honesty. You can't dispel the darkness unless you come and open your life to me. Unless you're willing to face the music, as it were, unless you're willing to say, "Yes, I'll make this right, and I'll do whatever you ask me to do. If it means going back to people whom I have wronged, if it means making those things right, I will do all that." Why? So that I may have only one master and serve him with single-mindedness and purity and devotion and commitment. Remember the children of Israel in Egypt, the difficulty they had. God brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. But he could not get Egypt out of their hearts. And they kept saying, "We want to go back. We want to go back. We want to go back." God says today, "Why don't you come to me and just let me change your heart?" We sang about that a moment ago, didn't we? "Change my heart, Lord. Make it ever thine. Take it, and all of the aspects of my life, Lord, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. God, give me that heart check. You know, there are some of you who may be here today who've never received Christ as Savior, and even accepting him as Savior is sometimes spoken of in the Bible as having been given light. And you remember the words of the song, "And Can It Be?" One of the stanzas says, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay in nature's night and in the dungeon." And then it says, "Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. The dungeon opened and filled with light." That there, Charles Wesley is describing his conversion when God came into his life and changed him and took his dark soul and granted him the gift of light. Bottom line, test your heart today. Its affections, its attitudes, its actions. Give God everything that he points out to you. Join me as we pray. Just before we pray, I hope that you have seen the reasonableness of what Jesus is asking, because it's the best investment, it makes the most sense, and brings the most happiness. As we've emphasized, people who will look for happiness are really looking for holiness, and they don't know it. Whatever God has talked to you about today, would you just give it to him? Father, today we say with Robert Robinson, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise." We ask today, Father, that hearts that have been out of tune with you for whatever reason may be brought today in line with your holy will. Lord, we do desire to walk with you with integrity and purity. We do desire, Lord, that all of the double-mindedness that we struggle with would be set aside. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, because that is our great need. And we ask, Lord, that through your word and through your spirit, that shall be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is Pastor Lutzer. As I conclude today, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever experienced that translation? To be brought out from darkness into light. Now, when you're in darkness, I need to tell you, you usually do not know it. We are born, spiritually speaking, in darkness. We grow up in darkness. We justify our darkness. We explain it away. But when God begins to shine his light into our hearts, we realize that we are guilty and we are in darkness. And then we come to the light that our deeds might be made manifest. And that light heals us. It is the light of God. Through forgiveness, through reconciliation, we're brought into God's presence. I encourage you, do that today.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer concluding Secret Serving, his last message in a series on sharing secrets with God. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss a series on being changed by the Word. There's something we'd like to share with you, and it's no secret. This 4-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.